Marx follows the ever-changing landscape to discuss the latest pressing issues relevant to brand owners in Europe and beyond. During this series, Marx members and special guests share updates, experiences, and opinions. This is IP Law Today. This is Talking Marx.
Hello, and welcome to the Talking Marx podcast. I'm James Nurton, the Marx editor. For this episode of Talking Marx, we'll be following up on a workshop that was held at the recent spring team meeting in Frankfurt. The workshop looked at the use of artificial intelligence-based investigation tools, and it was organised jointly by the Marx Education team, the Cyberspace team, and the famous and well-known Marx team. So today we're going to be picking up on that topic with a discussion about AI tools that are available to help with investigations, looking at the pros and cons of each of them, and some practical tips for people when using them. And I'm delighted that we're joined by the three speakers from that workshop in today's podcast. And they are Doreen Martin, Head of Group Intellectual Property at Zurich Insurance in Switzerland, and she's a member of the famous and well-known Marx team. Claudia Thomas Pedro, counsel with Galegas Portugal, a member of the Cyberspace team. And Inez Kleinsmith, who is Director at Mintz Group in the UK. And Inez is a member of the education team. So welcome to all three of you.
Thank you, James.
Hi, James. Thank you.
Thank you, James. It's a pleasure to be here. Looking forward to the discussions.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you very much. And thank you very much for joining us today. So, Doreen, I'd like to start with you because you moderated the workshop that I mentioned. So why did you decide to address this topic and why do it now?
Hello, I am really pleased to be here. Thank you, James. We decided to focus on investigating with AI because AI has really moved beyond the experimental phase. It is already a practical tool in IP investigation. Brand protection teams and IP professionals are using AI every day, sometimes intentionally and sometimes almost without noticing it, to spot infringements, analyze large volumes of data, or react more quickly to online trace. And the timing felt right because the scale and speed of infringements, especially online, have increased so much that traditional, purely human lead investigations are often no longer enough. At the same time, we are seeing more regulatory attention, for example, with the European AI Act, and higher expectation around transparency and accountability. So with this workshop, we wanted to move the discussion away from theory and focus on how AI is used in practice today, particularly for image recognition and object tracking, what risk that involves, and how IP professionals can stay in control instead of treating AI as a black box.
Well, thank you very much, Doreen. That's a very helpful introduction to the topic. So I want to turn to Claudia now and pick up on that, Claudia. And how do you think AI can be useful in IP investigations? Can you describe some of the ways that it can be used?
Absolutely, James. I do believe that traditionally, we always had a very inculcating tool set for investigations in IP. And probably everyone knows desk purchases, searches on online marketplaces, searches on social networks, online searches, searches on online and offline databases. I do believe that the lay of AI is going to enhance our capabilities of conducting more effective IP investigations. And as anticipated a little bit by Doreen, we're talking about at least use cases that we know nowadays that are around narrow AI applications. That means that the models are trained for very specific tasks and allow to conduct examination faster than a human would. And this is the case of image recognition and classification, object detection, object tracking, and content-based image retrieval, for instance. So it will become easier to detect infringement cases if we think about a use case of investigations towards identifying infringement and documented it, but it can also be very useful for other purposes. In addition, we also see general purpose models being used for IP investigations reasons, and they are not so directed to a specific task because they can be triggered by different prompts and using different bases to retrieve results. But bottom line, as with narrow AI applications, the question is always to monitor and track and review the results.
Yes.
But
yes,
this would be my direction, I would say.
And so, I mean, in what sort of areas of IP investigation are we seeing people using it at the moment? Is it things like identifying counterfeits, identifying infringements, and then sort of assessing evidence, maybe compiling evidence for actions? Where are you seeing it most used?
I would say that we do see uses regarding infringement, of course. I would say that probably is the most obvious use case for IP investigation using AI, but to allow together evidence to use in procedures and proceedings, be it administrative or court proceedings. But I do believe that there are other uses for AI outside of that, because you can actually, even in-house, and not just from the perspective of an outside counsel, you could see just research of the uses and use cases, and also of, for instance, in the context of advertising, you might want to conduct a search of what is out there, and so that your campaign is original. And AI can be very helpful in that too, because it will detect things that otherwise you wouldn't detect. But this is just one example of uses that would go beyond the mere use case of enforcement of IP rights. And then, for instance, try to confirm whether there is use of a trademark to challenge the validity of a trademark. That could also be another use case. So the way I see it is that AI-enabled applications and platforms can, in the end, be very helpful in the practice of an IP lawyer and an IP attorney, yes, because it does provide capabilities that we otherwise wouldn't have.
Yeah, interesting. Yes, and can be used in probably lots of different ways, as you say.
Yes.
Yeah. Good. Thank you. So let's move to Inez then, and maybe Inez, you could share some examples of some AI solutions that are already available and being used.
I mean, this is probably not the way we think of AI these days, where people, I think, kind of think of AI as a synonym for generative AI or agentic AI even. But to keep in line with the workshop last month, I think reverse image searches are a really powerful tool if you want to think of a more traditional AI, if there's such a thing. It's just that AI technology, in a sense, that analyzes and analyzes the shapes, the colors and features, faces, objects, places in an image, and not just its metadata. And I think as obviously we kind of start relying more on the Gen AI and agentic AI tools, we tend to forget just how AI used to work before this, but how useful it can still be in just helping us in the investigative practice.
Yeah. And so some of that sort of image recognition technology, that's been around for a few years, hasn't it? But I guess it's improved a lot and become more powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think we had a few giggles when I mentioned Google in the presentation, and rightly so. I mean, we use Google every day for so many things. But it is useful in as much as it is the largest database out there, even if it's not maybe the one you're going to go to if you need to search for an image or a very specific thing. It may give you less relevant results, but it's still always worth checking. I mean, there are a lot better tools out there, such as, and I mentioned this last month as well, Lenzo AI. It's really a relatively recent, but really, really powerful tool. But as with everything, it's always worth checking, you know, all of them if you have the time, but if not, most of them, certainly more than one, because that's how we do it anyway.
Yeah. So that one you mentioned is Lenso AI, you said.
Yeah, Lenso.ai. It's a really powerful tool, relatively new.
Yeah. Are there any others in particular that you would highlight that people might be interested in?
I like TinEye, which I also mentioned. These obviously are the ones that I've found most useful in my own investigative practice. My colleagues will probably think of others that have been more useful for the cases that they've worked on. And Yandex images, also quite powerful for some aspects of reverse image searches. So they all give you they each almost have their specialism, if you will. Oh, these ones are better for you know, objects. These ones are better for places, or you know, whichever really. But they're all really quite useful.
Yeah, interesting. And we should, probably a good point to say, Marks, of course, doesn't recommend or endorse any of these in particular, does it?
Absolutely.
But the ones that you've used
check your policy, check the company policy, check if you're even allowed to use any of these. but yeah, that's, you know, we were not definitely sponsoring the use of this or incentivating you to do any of it. But you can come to us. We'll do it for you.
And how can these sort of tools be integrated into existing workflows? Because as you say, I mean, some companies may have reservations about using them. So, you know, how do they work with their current kind of workflows, current plans?
Yeah. I know that probably most of the legal practitioners, they sign up and they have access to an array of like monitoring softwares, most of which do provide this sort of service as well, possibly with even better technology, really, because it's not something that's really available online. But I think mostly obviously for you to carry out these searches yourself as a legal practitioner, it just can really help give context or paint a picture in an investigative sense. It does obviously not replace like formal investigations or formal searches with those monitoring providers, but it can really help paint a clearer picture. So I think in terms of how to better kind of advise clients, because it will give you an idea of what's out there, of how much work, much more work, you're going to need to put into it, if you know what I mean. It's like, because one thing with these tools is that it does not, you will still have to go through these results. And sometimes you have hundreds and thousands of results, which can be all very helpful, but it will take a lot of your time. And obviously, I think the best, you can explain that to clients and advise clients on, you know, even next steps and that sort of thing. I think it can be quite helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Okay, good. Thank you very much. So I want to come back to you, Claudia, and with your sort of lawyer perspective, what are the advantages, do you think, of using AI in some of the ways that you and Inez have described?
One of the advantage, I would say, speed and efficiency. Absolutely, because the time that we can actually save using some of these tools, it's priceless. It's something that you wouldn't otherwise have. And another advantage would be having a clearer picture of what is out there, because as it retrieves more results than you would otherwise find yourself using other tools, you have a clearer picture. And as Inez was saying, that will allow you to outline a strategy, how you want to deal with this and better advise your client. Because if you have a huge amount of results, probably it will be so time consuming. Or even the fact that there are so many results, it's already an indication of something that can be legally relevant. Say, an investigation on use of a trademark. So if you have a lot of results, although it's not conclusive of itself and you cannot draw conclusions, definitive conclusions of that information, it can already be a powerful indication of what you should be looking into doing next. So
yes.
I would highlight this advantage for now, and I'm very curious to see further advantages in the future.
Yeah, so as people use it more and more, I guess they'll find new benefits and new ways of doing it and new ways of using it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. And, I mean, the other side of that, I suppose, is what precautions should people take when using AI in IP investigations? You know, what things should people be looking out for and be cautious of?
Well, with great power comes great responsibility, isn't it? So picking up one of Ines' remarks, indeed, checking internal guidelines and internal policies on the use of AI nowadays, it's very important, because I do believe that it has become a standard practice to have internal guidelines on the use of AI. So either you're willing to try a free service or app enabled by AI, or a subscription service even, you do need to check, because sometimes certain apps and services are not allowed because they are not safe. And that brings me to one of the points that we should be looking into, the cybersecurity of races of the app. Doreen mentioned the AI Act, for instance, and the AI Act is actually risk-based. So it can happen that a given app or platform or system is not under the obligation of covering certain specific requirements of the AI Act. But still, I do believe that having some cybersecurity requirements in place, safeguarding the use of data, being transparent about what will be done with input data, that would be something that in the future, irrespective of whether you have a regulatory obligation or not, will tell a service provider apart from another service provider, because that will give you the confidence to use that tool in providing your services to your clients. So I do believe that that should be a concern when using AI tools, because you also want to provide the same safety and trust to your clients when you're using those tools.
And does that mean having a sort of written policy that everyone is sort of signed up to, so that you're clearly stating?
A written policy, internal policy for short, so that you know what we are allowed to use. But at the same time, if you're, for instance, you're proposing the use of a certain app internally at your law firm or to your company, look into the terms of use of the app and service and the privacy policy. Have a good look into it to see what indeed is going to happen if you use that app. Because you'll need to input some information. Be mindful of the nature of the information that you would like to use to query the app or the system, because another concern would be confidentiality. If there is something that you need to preserve as confidential and keep it as confidential, you should think twice before using it as a prompt or input it to the platform or app that you're willing to use. So looking into that would also be very relevant. Another question that I would raise when using AI-enabled applications or software is the data governance, but from the perspective of the amount of data used, the quality of data used, and that's going to be queried, because that the quality of the results is contingent upon the quality of the data. So that will give you a glimpse of the degree of reliability that you would have regarding results. And also, equally relevant, I would say, please be mindful that each tool works on specific parameters. So the results that you'll get using, for instance, a general purpose AI model will not be the same as you'll get using a very narrow AI application. For instance, with object tracking, it will be different. So I would say that based on experience, that you should always diversify the tools that you use so that you'll be able to verify the results and the reliability of the results.
Yes.
And bottom line, if you want to use those results, for instance, in procedures, you want them to be truthful, verifiable, and reliable, because you're taking responsibility of what you're putting forward in the proceedings. And that leads to human supervision and oversight. I think they are key You have to critically examine what you're being provided with so that you can actually make a proper use from a legal standpoint.
Yeah, and of course, I think we've all seen some of the risks if you don't do that, you know, of hallucinations and of presenting evidence that is not what it seems to be. So you need to be very wary of that.
Absolutely.
Good, thank you. Inez, what about for you? I mean, are there potential red flags when using AI in this way that you would caution against?
I think Claudia made a really good job in mentioning some of these, actually. There has to be human supervision. You cannot just take it at face value, anything that AI gives you. And I think there have been enough examples, especially for the legal profession, where there have been issues with, you know, citing case law that doesn't exist, and that sort of thing. With reverse image searching, I think I wouldn't say there's any red flags. Just make sure if you find something that is, you know, a result that you are expecting, make sure you can corroborate it. Again, you cannot just take a result at face value, just, you know, oh, this came up, so it must be true. No. Can you find it referenced somewhere else? Can you find this image somewhere else? Can you find it dated? Can you, you know, it's, so make sure you kind of have that trace. Make sure you can corroborate the information that it's being given.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so use some common sense, I suppose, and also just use your resources that you have. Yeah. And have you seen, any examples where AI has really made a difference to enforcement cases, you know, that's really perhaps delivered success where it might not otherwise have been achieved?
Yes. Maybe not so much in enforcement, but I do have a recent case where we were able to use these tools to kind of prove or to disprove some claims, if you will, by a third party. And actually, these results came from a reverse image searching that were really helpful in finding the original images to give a completely different context to them, to kind of disprove some claims that this company was making.
Interesting.
It was really good. It was a really good outcome.
Yeah. Good. Okay. And I'm sure we'll see more of those, more sort of similar examples as use of this, these kind of technologies increases.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Good. I want to come back to you, Doreen, just to reflect on the workshop, as I mentioned, that was held in Frankfurt. Bearing in mind the workshop and what we've been talking about today, Doreen, what do you think have been the key lessons from the workshop?
I would say that one of the takeaways was that AI is an enabler, but not a replacement of your human judgment, as Inès and Claudia really repeat. It's incredibly powerful when it comes to speed, to scale, and pattern recognition, but it still needs clear, objective human validation and a proper decision-making process. So to deliver the results you can really rely on. As mentioned, there are some fake, and we have to ensure everything is fine. Another important point was governance and transparency. So responsible use of AI in investigation means understanding the data, being aware of the potential BAs and legal constraints, and also being able to explain how investigative decisions are made. So not only internally, but also sometimes externally. And finally, I will say that it became clear that not every organization needs very advanced or complex AI systems. What matters is using AI so consistently and purposefully, so in line with risk and business needs. Even relatively simple tools can already add value if they are used consciously, as mentioned by Ines.
Yeah. And did you get a good response to the workshop in Frankfurt?
Yes, the workshop, I will say, went very well. The audience was engaged and there were interesting questions. That makes always discussion richer and the exchange. The feedback also afterwards was very positive. The people told us they enjoyed in particular that it helped them discover new tools and practical use cases they could take back into their own IP investigation work. They enjoy it.
Good, good. I'm pleased to hear it, yeah. Well, just finally, before we wrap up, I want to ask Claudia and Inez, both of you, how do you expect this area that we've been talking about to develop in future? Is there anything in particular that people should look out for in future developments? Claudia, would you like to go first?
Sure. I'm very excited about what the future holds. Of course, anything I might say now, it's speculation at best, but I do believe there is a trend for agentic AI. And I do believe that agentic AI, in the sense that we'll find solutions that will have an even greater degree of autonomy, and the challenge would be how to incorporate that kind of solutions in our day-to-day practices, because they will still be tools, but they would be even more powerful tools and can be truly customized to what you need. So you might want an agent for a specific type of work that it's rather simple, that you can do every single day. I'm sure that everyone who might listen to the podcast will agree that there are a few tasks that we have on a day-to-day basis that can be delegated. And I can anticipate that we will be able to build our own agents to meet those requirements and to help us regarding those tasks. But bottom line, I do believe that the trend will be AI literacy, because we need to know more about AI. We need to learn how to use it. We need to know how to prompt and be critical about the solutions that we have already in the market. And keep in mind that these are tools. They are not going to replace our judgment.
Well, but yeah, so people need to develop their skills and get used to using these tools and learn how to use them most effectively, I guess.
Absolutely. I do see that coming, yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Inez? What do you see in your crystal ball?
I don't think I am as excited as Claudia in this, just because I think, obviously from my perspective as an investigator, I've been doing this for well over a decade. My interest will lie with the reliability of these tools. You know, as obviously we will see an increase in these tools and there will be more and more powerful. And I agree, we need to know how to use them and how, because obviously you need to understand them to be able to use them, but also to be able to kind of take a step back and look at them from a certain kind of a distance to see, right, how exactly is this helping me? But my interest really lies on how reliable are they going to continue to be, and hopefully increasingly reliable. But that's my currency. It's, you know, accuracy and reliability of information. So that is where that is what I'm most, I wouldn't say excited, but interested to see. Like, I look forward to seeing what developments come in that sense.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm sure we can all agree there will be probably significant developments over the next few years, and as this technology develops and you know, new functionalities are brought forward.
Yeah. But I do agree that reliability and safety are extremely relevant, but my excitement about what the future holds doesn't decrease on account of that, because I do believe that any player in the market will have to have that in mind, because otherwise it won't survive in the marketplace. I do believe that reliability, safety, data quality, data governance, transparency will be key.
Yeah, good. Good. Well, I think we are just about out of time for today's podcast. So thank you very much to Doreen, Claudia and Inez for taking part. It's been really good to talk to you, and I'm glad we had this opportunity to follow up on the workshop and give it to a wider audience as well, hopefully. So thank you very much for your participation today. Thank you also to our listeners for being with us. Hope you enjoyed today's episode of Talking Marks. We will have another episode available in the next couple of months, so do look out for that. But for now, thank you all very much and goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Join us again soon for another podcast on an important issue for brand owners. To find out more on our website and guest speakers, visit marks.org/podcast.